For WSIU Radio, I'm Kevin Boucher. As we begin a new year, we now have another original commentary, both voiced and written, by ornithologist Dr. Mike Baltz. In fact, this will be the first of a year-long series of original commentaries celebrating and honoring the 50th anniversary of the first Earth Day, which occurred in 1970.
I was 4 years old on the first Earth Day in 1970, so I don't remember it. That first Earth Day might have even gone uncommemorated in Millstatt, where I grew up. Not because people didn't care, but because I'd imagine the environmental problems of the day were still pretty invisible in southern Illinois back then. I do remember going fishing with my grandparents, though. We mostly caught catfish and bluegill in farm ponds and pay lakes around St. Clair County. I doubt that my grandparents had even heard of Rachel Carson's book, Silent Spring, about the dangers of pesticide use. And I imagine the fish we were catching and eating were already contaminated with traces of DDT. I couldn't read back then, so I didn't know what was going on in the world. But the environmental news certainly would have been frightening, especially to a kid. The Cuyahoga River was so polluted that it regularly caught fire. The Santa Barbara oil spill killed 10,000 seabirds and marine mammals. And the pesticide DDT was killing or poisoning animals up and down the food chain. Thankfully, all around the country, groups of dedicated, literate citizens began to take action. There were protests and teach-ins, songs and books written, and new laws passed. Then, on April 22, 1970, the first Earth Day happened. On that day, 20 million Americans turned out to pledge allegiance to the planet, and the environmental movement was born. Not coincidentally, soon after the Big Bang of the first Earth Day, historic environmental legislation was enacted, including the creation of the Environmental Protection Agency and the signing of the Clean Water and Endangered Species Acts. In many ways, the young environmental movement was the next wave of an earlier conservation movement led by men like John Muir, who wrote eloquently about the beauty of wild America and the importance of protecting what was left of it. Muir and his friend Teddy Roosevelt saved wild America in many ways. They helped establish the National Park System in 1892, as well as the National Forest Service in 1902 and the National Wildlife Refuge System in 1903. Then it was Aldo Leopold, Edward Abbey, and even Dr. Seuss who spoke for the trees in the years leading up to that first Earth Day. Notwithstanding conservation successes, environmental protection has proved to be a never-ending job. And today, 50 years after the first Earth Day, climate change is bearing down on us ominously. Our protected lands are still threatened, bird populations are declining, and the vast oceans of the world may contain more plastic than fish by 2050. Like back in the 1970s, the environmental news is scary. And I can read it now. I've done a lot of reading on this topic, actually, since I was four. And there's a big, dramatic, scary, and hopeful conservation history that is still being written. A history that I look forward to sharing with you this year. Spoiler alert, though. We seem to be a species hell-bent on fouling our nest and causing a lot of collateral damage along the way. But nature is resilient, and there is still time to rewrite the conservation script. Personally, I believe we must remain hopeful, each of us redoubling our effort to be a part of the solution, each of us challenging a status quo that isn't working, and supporting those who are fighting with passion, courage, and imagination to save us from ourselves. To those men and women, young and old, who history will remember, I wish good luck and Godspeed. And to you, the listener, I extend an invitation to join me this year and hopefully be inspired to make every day Earth Day.
That was ornithologist Dr. Mike Baltz. This original monthly commentary was both voiced and written by Dr. Baltz. For WSIU Radio, I'm Kevin Boucher.